This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at WorldSweeper.com, and I have on the phone with me Pat McDonough, and Pat heads up McDonough and Sons Incorporated Sweepers, and they are a large sweeping company located in greater Seattle area, and they are the WorldSweeper.com Contractor of the Month for June 2010. Congratulations on that, Pat.
Hey, thank you very much, and I just mention the... You say the Seattle area, I'd say the Puget Sound corridor.
that makes sense. You're in the south portion of Seattle, and I'm sure that your business encompasses greater Seattle, which includes Tacoma and probably Olympia and further east. So
yeah,
that makes good sense.
Well, we've been up to Bellingham, but right now it's up to Smoky Point and up in that area.
Yeah. And when people learn how many pieces of equipment you have and so forth, they'll see why you have a very large service area and are so well known in this part of the Pacific Northwest. What is it these days? What? How many parking lot sweepers? How many street sweepers?
In total, we have about 46 to 50 pieces of equipment, and that is all divided in between the services that we provide, from the sweeping to the drains, and then we are seven nights a week, 5 days a week, and serving both municipalities as well as private. And our private contracting consists of the backbone of our business. We had 52 employees. We're down to about 30 right now, due to economical strategies. We just have to strategize, as I've become accustomed to, like I said, in the early 80s.
Sure.
It was a challenge as well as it is now. Well,
that's a lot of rolling stock to have out there, and you know, you have to implement it the best way you can think how. So tell me, Pat, it's McDonough and Sons, but I know happen to know that the Sons are no longer involved in the company, but they were an integral part of the company and are integral parts of our industry and an allied industry. When you began sweeping, how old were your boys?
Well, some might think this is a little ironic, but they were 7 and 11. And I'll tell you, they've been dynamic in the way that this company, along with their mother, in the way that we've been able to reach the levels that we've been able to reach. And I don't think that there is an employee here that doesn't recognize that. However, some unfortunately didn't escape what it was like to have all that testosterone under one company roof, and which led to ultimately... you know, the opportunity for my sons to do what they've done and me to be so proud that they're still in the industry. I still, I now purchase equipment from 1.7, who is my oldest son and the most dynamic dealer I can think of, with all due respect to those that are trying. My son is one that will not only sell but travel. And he's supported greatly by his wife, who is an administrator in his business.
Right, and their names are?
And that is Corey McDonough and Tina McDonough.
Right, who, of course, I've had many conversations with as heads of 1.7, which is a well-known sweeper and other types of equipment dealer located in the Northwest. And then your other son, who grew up in the sweeping business but also branched off into his own company, what does he do?
Which has been dynamic, nonetheless. I mean, that young man was vice president in charge of sales here at McDonough & Sons and did establish the clientele to a large degree, especially in the last several years that he was employed here and a shareholder. He now, having tried to serve our customers, that clientele, in the various needs of pavement maintenance, working and trying to network with others in the industry that now he has found he can just do with so much better expertise by owning and managing that aspect of it, which is the paving, sealing, striping, and all related needs in that, from putting in bumper curbs to everything that a customer needs in the way of liabilities and good longevity and maintenance of their asphalt. It's been a blessing, and he carries the rights to the logo, which he so well developed. His desire and respect for the University of Notre Dame arrived at the logo that we now have, with, I might add, has been sanctioned by the Notre Dame and through a lot of dialogue.
Which I know is a longer story than we could ever go into here.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
That's how dynamic that young man is. Okay.
Well, I can see where you'd be proud of that as well.
Uh-huh. Yes, I am. McDonough Industries, LLC.
What are some lessons you have learned about, you know, dealing with employees, dealing with customers, and that kind of thing? You talk about having customers that you've had for 25 years, and I think that's a pretty darn admirable record. What can you tell about, you know, having the kind of employees, having the kind of service that keeps that kind of customer loyalty, and, you know, that must mean you have long-term employees as well, or they wouldn't be able to do that good a job.
I appreciate that. It's hard to put into just a nutshell, but it is all based on ethics. And I know that, you know, this industry doesn't have an edge on that, whatever industry you're in. But when we discuss what technology has done to this industry and the awareness of the environmental needs in the last decade, those standards are very, very challenged. And I have not given in to any of that. And believe me, I know that those that are in property management and have been, and also in facility managing in municipalities and government agencies, can adhere to what I'm saying, and most likely, I bet on the fact they'd agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a challenge, but it's one that I'm proud to be associated with, that I've stuck with.
Well, those are strong words, and I think that's one that everybody can take to the bank. It might be more difficult in the short run, but in the long run, it's ethics that win the day. So, good for you. What kind of training do you give to your sweeping personnel?
Well, now you're getting into trade secrets here.
Uh-huh. Well, trade me a couple.
I've heard of McDonough and Sons says, having been a vocational training institution for this industry, and I have to say, you know, we it gets spread around real fast. And there again, we've just stuck with the real basic safety and drive hard on, you know, on ethics. And of course, we've got so much available to us out there in the state agencies, from labor to OSHA, our local fire departments and governing agencies. As we adhere to those, the training becomes obvious, but a lot of it has to be the investment of me as a contractor. That does keep our profit margins to the point where my hobby is packing with horses and mules, and once one gets into that, you realize how inexpensive that is compared to most country clubs and stables.
Mm-hmm.
Here in the Northwest, it's just awesome.
Someone who lives in the Northwest as well, I know what you mean. You can walk out your backyard and be in some pretty darn nice areas.
Right.
Let me reinforce what you said, though, about working with your state agencies. I think that's so important, whether it's the fire department, labor and industries, OSHA, as adversaries. But, in fact, there's an OSHA program where they'll bring in inspectors with the prerequisite that as long as you fix the things that they find, they won't be fined. Labor and industries folks, you can work with them and the fire department the same kind of fashion. And learning from those requirements, you know, not only bring your business to a higher, more safe level, and that means more profitable in the long run, it also, by working with those agencies, when they do find something, they realize that it's just a momentary lapse on your part, and you don't end up with nearly the problems that you would if that's the first time they've ever heard of you as in a negative situation.
Yeah, you're right, Randy. I have been impressed, as I have been in the private enterprise, where the private aspect of the business, whether it's agencies or property managers, I've found where, or tenants of those property managers, you know, most everyone that I've become associated with is always striving for the ultimate good. That's been a huge inspiration for me. However, I want to emphasize that don't go into it with an attitude of, well, I'm small, they'll overlook it. No, because if you employ one or you employ 50, that one can be damaged or injured or even killed so easy by just simple neglect that it's a tremendous aspect of business that oftentimes I see overlooked. Thank you for that question. That
was Yeah, safety is so critical in the long run. And people don't realize sometimes how you can build your business up and suddenly one accident can take it down. So
exactly. We just had a really good meeting with I'll mention the name Travelers, and they have a tremendous loss control aspect of their business, and more so than any other insurer that we've been involved with throughout the years, and it's been plenty. But at this point in time, I'd have to say, when that is focused on, and focused on from a realistic point of view, not from, like you said, oftentimes too late. We're trying to be proactive here, and so are the larger companies nowadays. I can't speak for in general, but that one in particular has inspired me with using technology to help us get the most out of an ounce of information rather than having to wait for the tons that get dumped on us.
That's a very important part, and part of that means that they need to understand your business. So that's a good point to bring up to other contractors out there, is when you're working with your insurance company and other advisors, professional advisors, do they really understand your type of business, and can they give you targeted information? Because that's the kind of thing that keeps you safe and, of course, helps you grow. Do you have any other kind of advice for people in this difficult economy? Difficult for the Northwest, but yet we're immune to it more than some of my contractors that I talk to, say, in Michigan and places like that. What kind of advice do you have? You had to pare down your workforce. Are there pieces of advice you have on how to do that and how not to do it?
From a larger contractor standpoint of view now, which we are here in the area, but I'll tell you, I've had to rely on those elements that I pointed out as far as ethics go. I now pride myself and rely on being represented by and surrounded by and insulated by good ethical people within my company. And I try to reach out and get to know the customers well enough to know who's loyal in those ways too. And it's a challenge, but it's one that I've found that it isn't as rewarding profitability as it is consistent wise. And as long as we're being good stewards of what we've been allowed to accomplish here, both financially and every other way, then we're going to make it. But this is one that, boy, every time I turn around, it's more severe than one that we've ever reached in almost 30 years.
Well, one of the things that I hear from other contractors is that who have also had to pare down their workforces is that because they're ending up with their better people, and in an expansionary economy, you oftentimes, you hire whoever you can get who's warm-blooded and you can get your hands on, that now they find themselves with a core personnel that are more accomplished, more ethical is the term we've been using here, more educated, more safe, more customer-oriented, because they see that the company is and the economy is in kind of dire straits here, they put in more effort. And, they want to keep their jobs, and so they do a higher level of service and so forth. Have you seen what you'd consider to be your productivity per person stay the same or rise, or what do you think out of that?
I agree with you. It is something that I attend the driver's meetings here, which are every other week, and I'm telling you from the supervisors and their input, and it is to the service techs themselves, and that's what we have now. You're right. They're service technicians. They're not just drivers or operators or warm-blooded bodies. These are definitely, we're getting to that core, and it is a pleasure. That I guess that's one of the aspects of enduring those times where, yes, things are so busy that we are making those exceptions and just keeping up with the demand. What is the silver lining? It's this, what you just mentioned. We are very, very professional in what we do to the newest of our trainees, to the veterans. And believe me, I am getting the compliments, and that is the good part that makes it worthwhile.
How much has environmental concerns risen in the last, say, decade? Is that when that's really come to the fore, do you think, or the last 5 years, 2 years?
I would say in the last 10 years. You're right, Ranger. And in the last 5 years, it's been so dynamic in the way that even the younger people that I employ that are in the industry, such as my general manager, Pam Meitman, I can't go without mentioning that person. She has been dynamic in taking her expertise, her experience from technical background, which would be financing and computer-related industries, into our business here, and has definitely been able to adhere with the sophistication of the education here in our areas, which others might not look at it sophisticatedly due to the fact that I hate to say this with all due respect, we're so far behind. But that is with due respect, believe me. We do deal with elements here that at roundtables at times, at expos across the country that I've attended, when I relate to our winter activities as within a 48-hour period, we can be plowing snow, doing de-icing, and then doing drain maintenance and flooding, all within, you know, a 48-hour period. So you've got the sweeping, you've got everything that some are able to put away for months at a time. We deal with it on a weekly, daily business throughout the 12 months of the year here.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that is a unique part of the Pacific Northwest weather, and when you combine that with all of the environmental mandates that are increasingly there about how quickly they want you to get the material up and get the drains cleaned and so forth after putting down the de-icing material. Well, you mentioned to me, Pat, that you have many customers that you've had for a couple decades, and that is speaks volumes for itself. And one of the things that I know occurs is that there's a certain shopping around of customers, and you know they'll go away, and what the ethical, responsive businesses find, of course, is that they come back to them eventually because they're not, you know, getting the work done that in the way that they'd like to have it done. One of the big things here is stormwater prevention, and is that a factor in keeping customers? How does that factor in these days in your locale for getting work, especially municipal work, where the environmental aspects are important?
Well, I appreciate that. Ranger, you pointed it out, and in asking, what type of strategies or what to maintain customers, I'll tell you, the largest one, I believe, is that ongoing goal in history to prove that whether the customer likes us or not is it's an important issue to me, but it's not the mainstay, you might say, that drives customers to needing great representation. And that SWPPP, which is the Stormwater Pollution Prevention Program, is any of the customers that have been with us and left and came back. Oftentimes, when I get the chance to survey them, and I'm helping our people, such as Fernando here in the company, who represents the customer directly, and Melissa with customer service, we actually, our customers know that plan is of utmost importance to us. And the cradle-to-grave statement that's been made and referred to so many times in our industry now. Our customers, the owner of that property, is what our agencies refer to as the generator. And that is where the ultimate responsibility lies. I can only give them the assurance that in our company, we cover the aspects here that are the most important ingredients to supplying them with what they need to know that they're being taken care of that way. It's the best way I can put that, I believe, Ranger.
Uh-huh. That's become such a critical factor in the sweeping programs in the Pacific Northwest, California, really up the coast, is do you have a stormwater pollution plan in place that is considered to be a best management practice? And, of course, sweeping and, in your case, drain cleaning are both large aspects of that. What else would you like to have other contractors know, or what other kinds of things do you think that have given your company, McDonough & Sons, a competitive advantage in the industry?
I would just say, and I hope that my reputation and our image proves this by upholding our image in both human resource and equipment they can stand on. My hope for this is that fellow contractors and fellow competitors keep striving for that raising the bar attitude. And don't give in. Keep after it. Together we'll find what the customers need out there, both governmental as well as private, to continue to head in the right direction and keep this planet of ours in the best shape that we can, provided our expansions of technology and population. So thank you, and I appreciate this opportunity, and I wish you the best, too.
Well, I can't think of a better place to leave it, Pat, than having that kind of an overarching worldview brought down to the sweeping industry, because, as you know from our off-tape conversations, that's what keeps me in the industry is the pushing for the environmental side of it and doing all we can to, as an industry, to keep the planet green and thriving. So
right on.
The World Sweeper Contractor of the Month has become notable as something to achieve, so congratulations.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Pat McDonough, and Pat is the head of McDonough & Sons Sweepers, and they are located in the greater Seattle area of Washington State, and they are our Contractor of the Month at worldsweeper.com for the month of June 2010. Thanks again, Pat.
Thank you, too, Ranger.